I want to invite you to turn tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I hope that you have your Bible. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture tonight, starting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, "We are not rulers over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy." And as we consider this series over the next several weeks of some of the doubtful things and the dilemmas that we face in our Christian life, my intention is not to give you a rule book or to rule over your faith. But I also know that many times as Christians we make mistakes, and sometimes we make poor decisions concerning separation and standards, and our poor decisions in those areas bleed over into many areas of our Christian life and affect our joy, our victory, our ability to overcome. The things that we're talking about, though they are things that people can disagree about, even people who are good Christians can disagree about exactly where to draw the line on these issues, we all should recognize that these are important issues that we each have to grapple with before the Lord and come to a place of convictions from the Bible about how we will handle these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21 says this, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Prove all things. There's an important principle here that you and I are not to ask the question, what's wrong with it, but we are to ask the question, what is right with it? To prove all things means we are to put things to the test. It means as Christians, our immediate response should not be to dismiss something and say, oh, if I don't think about it, then I won't be held accountable before God. That's the wrong response. The right response is, I want to make sure that the things I'm doing are pleasing to the Lord. Therefore, I want to prove all things. I want to find that which is good, and I want to hold fast to that which is good. Now, tonight, with the Lord's help, I'd like to speak to you for the next few minutes. The clock is ticking. I have 3 pages of notes. And so we're going to do the best we can to finish in the time limit. But I would like to speak to you for the next few minutes about the entanglement of entertainment. Entertainment takes up all kinds of different aspects of our society, which we'll talk about this evening. And choices of entertainment can be one of the most thorny issues to consider. There's a lot of wide-ranging opinions about how to approach this topic. I would go so far as to say that in this auditorium, we have some pretty wide difference of opinion about how to approach entertainment. Now, it's clear tonight that entertainment is part of our modern society. This is partly because you and I have much more disposable time available to us than previous generations did. And because of that, because we have this extra time, there's a great thirst and pursuit after entertainment in our culture. Many of our previous generations spent the majority of their time keeping themselves alive. Things like growing and killing their own food, preserving their food, cooking their food, all their clothes had to be made by hand. You understand what I'm saying? Most of those people lived their lives in such a way, and I know we feel like we're very busy. But the truth is, we have a lot of disposable time that we can use for all sorts of different things. Now, think about it with me tonight. How many examples, looking back over history, can we find where people providing unimportant and even frivolous service, that's what I'm calling entertainment, are the best paid members of society? It is curious, isn't it, that our society is structured in such a way that the most highly paid individuals and the most famous and highly regarded are those who are in the business of entertainment, by and large. Now, whatever your boundaries are regarding entertainment choices, this is something that all of us need to consider and grapple with biblically. For sure, we need to teach our children how to approach these issues before they're on their own. And I suggest that we teach our children principles rather than the rules, not this program, but this program, okay, yes to this YouTube personality, but no to this one, because by the time our children are grown and making their own decisions, the world is likely to be very different than what it is right now. So it's going to be important for them to understand the principles that will apply. Now, it seems in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, that you and I have a responsibility to prove all things. This applies to many different areas of life. The word prove means to put it to the test. Try it. It's the idea of putting precious metal through the fire to see what it's made of, to cause the impurities to rise out. That's the idea of prove. And you and I ought to be very careful to scrutinize the decisions in our life. Tonight, we're going to apply verse 21 to our entertainment choices, and I hope to make this message very practical and helpful for you this evening. Now, along the way, I'm going to be sharing with you some principles which will apply in each one of our lives, though we may apply these principles a little bit differently. I'm going to give you some things which hopefully will be a help. I particularly want to give you some questions to answer, to think through, and to bring before the Lord as you formulate where you are coming down on these sorts of issues. Along the way, I may also mention some things that we personally have decided in our family and for our children and the way that we have structured things. That's not to suggest that everything needs to be exactly like our family and your family. I'm not trying to say we have a better way of doing it, but I think all of us need to give this a lot of thought because this is a very important issue and it's not going away anytime soon. I want to start tonight by talking about the dangers of entertainment. Now, I'm going to speak about the dangers of entertainment, but don't take that to mean that I'm completely against all forms of entertainment. I just want you to consider the dangers that exist in this area of our life. Several things that I want to point out to you. First of all, I want you to consider the agenda of the entertainment industry. So entertainment is backed by an industry. That industry is made up of all sorts of production facilities, all kinds of sound and video engineers, actors and actresses, which are the ones that we generally think of as the face of the entertainment industry, and high-powered executives. And let's just say that the entertainment industry is lucrative. It brings in a lot of money. It nets big, big-time pay for people who are involved in it. The entertainment industry is, in fact, an industry, and it has an agenda. I don't know if you've noticed, although I will suggest that it doesn't take a particularly perceptive Christian to understand that the industry of entertainment in general is opposed to Christianity and is aggressively promoting an unbiblical worldview. So when we come to entertainment or when we view entertainment, usually entertainment is viewed, we are going to be exposed to a worldview that is often going to be opposed to the Bible. Sometimes it is the exact opposite of the Bible, and sometimes it is subtle nuance of error from the Bible. But by and large, the entertainment industry is not teaching the Bible. It's not encouraging people to pursue a biblical worldview. Would you agree with me about that tonight? I mean, we all are exposed to entertainment. Would you say in general, I'm not talking about everything, but in general, the worldview is unbiblical. The second thing about the agenda of the entertainment industry I want you to consider is that entertainment always has a message. They don't just make movies, for instance, for the purpose of making movies. Now, obviously, they make them to make money, but they also make them to communicate a message. There's something that is being communicated through the movie. The entertainment always has a proposed response to that movie, even if that response is simply to evoke emotion about an issue. And you say, well, what are some examples or what are some issues that we could notice? Well, for instance, here are some worldview issues that are being aggressively marketed right now through the entertainment industry. One that we see is removing older boundaries of sexuality. All kinds of issues of sexuality are front and center in most forms of entertainment. Right now, the battleground is in the area of transgenderism, also homosexuality, rampant adultery, fornication, pornography. All of these things are parts of the entertainment industry, and all of them make money. There's a saying that goes around, and I think it's true. Sex sells. And the entertainment industry understands that, and they successfully use that tool to sell their product. So that is an issue that we are constantly coming up against. Now, this is not a new thing. This has been around for a long time. The entertainment industry has always been on the cutting edge of this issue, pushing our society in a certain direction. So when we say things have changed a lot, the entertainment industry is helping to push that along. We also see, here's another worldview, evolution and the worship of nature. Sometimes when we speak about the worship of nature, what we're referring to is pantheism. And this is something that we see in the entertainment industry, even nature documentaries, those good things that you can watch to learn, science shows. You have to develop some discernment about those things because there's a lot of evolutionary theory that is being presented as fact. And we need to help our children, especially, to think through that. We taught our children years ago that when we were watching a nature documentary and evolution was presented, we said, evolution. And so they still do that. And we were reminiscing the other day, we went to the planetarium, and we said to our kids, no, not in the planetarium. We're not going to say, evolution, because, well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? But we do want our children to be aware that even when we're watching something like a nature documentary, obviously we can learn lots of things from that, but there's also a worldview that's being presented. We see that there is a lot of mockery of religion and the things of God in the entertainment industry, a lot of it. And if you pay attention to a lot of the popular shows, if there is anything religious, like a pastor or a priest or something like that, it's almost always presented in a make fun of them kind of a way. It's always with a twist of they're usually the person that is being castigated or that is doing some kind of terrible wrongdoing. There's a reason for that. There's also in the entertainment industry a general disrespect for the nuclear family. I challenge you to look at the common shows and identify how many of them are presenting a nuclear family with a married couple, husband and wife, man and woman, with children who are being raised in a biblical environment. Can you even find such a thing? There's disrespect for that. There is a general promotion of rebellion against authority. The subject of most movies and sitcoms is that people in authority are stupid, and the people who really know what they're doing are the people who are in rebellion. There is an encouragement of covetousness and a building up of longing for things that you don't have. There's also a promotion of New Age philosophy and Far Eastern religions, which is prevalent. And I could go on, but I just want to show you that there are worldviews that are present in our entertainment. So the agenda of the entertainment industry is something that we need to take into effect. It's something that we need to think about. Even what is generally called Christian entertainment. For instance, there's a very popular series right now about the life of Christ that is available online on YouTube and things like that called The Chosen. And there are some very clear problems with that series. And you should know that the people who are behind that have a strong Latter-day Church of Christ, the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon group, that are forming a lot of the things that are behind that, as well as a lot of Catholicism. And so some of the things that are being presented, and if you've ever watched that, I've watched it. There's some times I've watched it a couple times, and I thought, boy, that makes me uncomfortable. I'm not sure what's going on with that. And then I began to find out a little bit of what's behind it. So always pay attention to what's behind. What's the worldview? All right? All right, come back to me now, because I know some of you just went like, what? If you want to talk about that some more, I'll be glad to give you some more information about that at a different time. But I want you to think about, generally speaking, our entertainment. The second problem, or the second danger of entertainment, is there's a possibility that you and I can grow calloused by becoming exposed to sinful and impure things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says that false teachers have their conscience seared with a hot iron. It is possible to be conditioned to receive sinful things and to no longer blush at them by repeated exposure to those things. What will prove this to you is if you step away from entertainment completely for an extended period of time and then try to come back to it, you will see those things with new eyes. One of the decisions Allison and I made when we were preparing to get married, we decided that we would not have a television in our home for at least a year. And so we completely put aside entertainment. Now, that was even predating a lot of the things on the internet, YouTube, and all that sort of stuff. That didn't exist then. So when we put the television, we said, we're not going to have one. And our primary reason was, we, in our first year of marriage, we wanted to spend time with each other. We wanted to develop a strong relationship with each other. We didn't want to be sitting in front of a television and viewing a program. We wanted to get to know each other and build a strong relationship. It ended up being longer than a year before we got a television. And we do have a television in our house now. And we do occasionally watch entertainment. But what happened was, we came back then and we saw some things. And this is, you know, over the course of years, this has happened over and over. And things that I always would have thought, oh, what's the big deal with that? And since I haven't seen them in a long time, now I look at them, and I know this is going to sound crazy to some of you. Bugs Bunny. And you think, what is wrong with Bugs Bunny? If you pay attention, there is a lot of sexual innuendo in Bugs Bunny. There is a lot of it. And you start to watch and you're like, oh my goodness, this is for kids? This is like really a little bit pushing the line. All right. Again, I blew your mind there, all right? What I'm saying to you is, wherever you draw the line, you need to understand that the world is always going to be pushing. The world is always going to be trying to get you to accept things that you've not accepted before. The current issue that they're trying to get everyone to accept is transgenderism. And it's constantly being put in front of us. The third thing that is a danger of entertainment is the addictive nature of entertainment. Fact. The entertainment industry spends a lot of money to make entertainment more appealing and addictive. There are plenty of studies in the secular realm demonstrating that entertainment is designed and intended to be addictive. You know, they get their money by getting people's eyes on their product more. That's how they make money. So it stands to reason that the more they get people's eyes on their program, the more money they make. Therefore, they're going to figure out how to get your eyes on their programming more and more. So they put a lot of time and energy into designing these things to be addictive. Even right now, there's a big discussion about trying to bring Facebook and their engineers into the Congress and answer questions about why they make these things so addictive that children are drawn into them. what do you expect them to do? That's how they make their living. That's what they do. But we need to be aware that these things are addictive. And the immersive nature of entertainment is constantly evolving to make it more real life. And the more real life it is, the more people are drawn deeper and deeper in. Entertainment is addictive. Some people cannot bear to miss the next episode. And this can also be true of social media, which is a form of entertainment, and the constant need to watch movies when the sequel comes out or whatever. I've just got to be there. I've got to see it first, and that sort of thing. And listen, if you're enthusiastic about that sort of thing, that's between you and the Lord, but consider the fact that it is addictive and it's trying to draw you deeper in. And this is something that we're going to have to deal with as they figure out how to trigger things in your brain to make it more attractive, and they do study this. You're going to have to learn how to put up barriers to those things. Fourth of all, the danger of entertainment is the real temptation to waste time. Because entertainment is addictive in its design, we easily find ourselves devoting much time to the pursuit of entertainment. It becomes an escape for us from real life, which is much less interesting. And it's also an escape from real relationships, which require more emotional energy. Do you know there's a significant problem right now in Japan? Because the young men in Japan have no desire to get married. And because the young men don't want to get married and don't even want to have a relationship with a young woman, they are in a population crisis in Japan, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And you say, what is causing this? Well, the sociologists who are studying it are pointing the finger at video games. And they're saying these young men have a whole world at their disposal in their den or their house where they live with their parents, and they just are there. They have their needs provided for them financially, so they don't have to work. They have all their social needs met online, and they have no real relationships with people. You say, is this really happening? Yeah, it's happening. And there is a real temptation to waste a lot of time. These are some of the dangers of entertainment. But now consider with me, second of all, the dilemma of entertainment. The dilemma of entertainment. And what I want to say here is, entertainment is a major influence on the worldview of the average person. If you want to know how your children are being impacted by the entertainment industry, just sometime listen to them quietly when they're around their friends and what they talk about. You say, how would you know this, Pastor? Because sometimes I'm around our kids and I just sit and listen to what they talk about. And you start to realize how their worldview is being shaped by the things that they are watching and listening to. It becomes evident the kind of things that they're watching on television, the kind of music they're being exposed to. It doesn't take long to realize that they are being impacted. Now, most Christians realize that they should disagree with the worldviews that are being presented in entertainment. I think we mostly understand. And we would say, I don't agree with those things. I'm not in agreement with that. But most Christians do not realize how they are being influenced in many areas of life by the entertainment that they are pursuing. We don't realize the subtle shifts in our thinking that are making us more accepting of sin. Words are being impacted. Our patterns of speech. New words are entering the language all the time. Do you know that the companies that have the dictionaries every year do a study of what words they should introduce to the dictionary? And many of these words are coming through the entertainment industry. Ways of interacting with our words are being impacted by the entertainment industry. We're picking up on these sorts of things. Not only our words, but also our actions are being affected. Today we have these things called TikTok challenges. And of course, somebody sees something on TikTok, here's the challenge, do this, and then they go out and do it. And there's always warnings on the news about to parents, hey, you should know about this newest TikTok challenge. Before that, I guess it was some other kind of a platform that they would share this kind of thing with. And parents, be aware of this. Kids are doing this sort of thing. It's really dangerous and you need to know about it. And why is it that they have to warn about that? Because entertainment is powerful. It implants thoughts in people's minds and it affects the way that they see the world and the decisions that they make. We see young people all the time aping the sexualized clothing of the world that is evidenced in the entertainment industry. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're either not watching entertainment at all or you're in denial. Because that is what is happening. Even the body postures, how people stand and move their body is being affected by the entertainment industry. And you see sometimes young ladies who are going to take a picture and they do something mimicking something that they saw in entertainment or online, not realizing that it is a highly sexualized posture, not understanding what they're doing. They've been affected by that. So our words and our actions are being affected, and habits of life are being built. We have to understand this. This is a dilemma for us. And you say, why is it a dilemma? Because entertainment is everywhere and it can't be avoided. We can't, what is our solution? Unless you're planning to move out into the mountains and cut yourself completely off from society or exposure to other people, you're going to have to deal with entertainment. It's a part of life. Children, our children don't watch, especially when we were earlier in our married life, we rarely let our children watch television. There was a number of reasons for that. But we would find, if we went to a restaurant and they had a television on the wall, our kids were like, and it could be the stupidest program in the world, but they were just glued to it. They couldn't take their eyes off of it. By the way, people who watch TV all the time are the same way. You go out into society, entertainment is all around you. You go into the store, and they've got these huge big screen TVs with all kinds of stuff on them. And, you know, our kids go by, wow, and they're watching. So we're going to have to learn to deal with entertainment. We can't just totally get away from it. Whatever you may think of it, social media and online content is here to stay. In fact, a lot of people's jobs circulate around those things. The way that they make a living, and they may be working in some industry, but everything that they do is impacted by social media and online content. And this is just the world that we live in. So this is the dilemma. We realize that entertainment is affecting us, but we also realize that we can't totally cut ourselves off from it. It's not like we can totally be removed from entertainment because it's such a part of our modern world. I want to say, third of all, entertainment is not in and of itself necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily wrong for something to be entertaining. For instance, in the entertainment world, there are lots of things that can be learned. I use YouTube all the time to figure out how to fix my car. There's always somebody that did it wrong and told you how not to do it. So I always want to learn from them. I want to make sure that I know what I'm doing before I do it wrong. Let them do it wrong and show me how. So we understand that these sorts of things, even movies, and there is, as I said earlier, there is no movie without a worldview, but even movies with a worldview can be useful because you can sit down and you can view a movie with your children, and you can help them think through the worldview that is being presented. I'm not a lot of fun to watch a movie with. Because generally speaking, and my kids know this, I'm pointing out, look at that. That is not scriptural. That's not true. That's not the right way to approach this situation. My wife is probably even worse than I am about this. And she'll say, those kids are not being respectful to their parents. That's not the right way that someone should act. And you say, why would you do that? Well, not because we want to ruin a movie or take away the effect. We want our children to learn to be able to view these things and think about them critically. So many times people sit down to entertainment thinking, I'm here to be amused, but they're not thinking about what they're being taught. They're not thinking about what is being communicated to them. So movies can be helpful for this sort of a thing, obviously with discretion and being patient. And at times, within the bounds of moderation, it certainly is nice to relax and enjoy some wholesome entertainment. I'm not against entertainment for entertainment's sake. I think there's a place for it. So this is the dilemma. We see that entertainment's all around us. We see that it's impacting us. What are we going to do? I think the wrong response is to try to just move away and cloister yourself off. We're cutting off the internet. We're getting rid of everything. Our kids are never going to meet any other person, and we're going to keep them, preserve them from the world. I hate to break it to you, but at some point, they're going to have to live in the world. And so you're going to have to help them to learn to work through these things. And that brings us then to the discernment regarding entertainment. What are some things that we should take into effect as we consider what kind of entertainment should I choose? What are the things that I want to partake of? What are the things that I want to share with my family? There's a couple of things that I want to share with you that I think will be helpful. Four thoughts in particular, which I believe are particularly applicable, but I believe there's probably more principles which also apply to this as well. For the sake of time, just four tonight. I want you to turn, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 and 16. I read this verse to you, I believe, last week in our introduction to this subject. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16 says this, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And I especially want to focus on verse 16. And I want to say that we need to learn, in regards to entertainment, how to redeem the time. The first thing that I want you to consider is, you and I need to be aware of how we are spending or investing our time. The reason is because time is a constantly passing commodity that we must choose how to invest. Every moment, the minutes, the seconds, and the hours are passing through the fabric of our life. We have the opportunity to take those moments and utilize them to make them count for eternity. And we have to think about, how am I actually spending my time? Because it is possible to choose improperly and waste the time that God gives to us. We don't want to do that. Time is passing by too quickly. Our lives will soon be over, and we want to make sure that we maximize the time that God gives to us. For instance, I want to suggest to you that family time, constantly watching movies together, is unlikely to create a connection in your family. It's unlikely. In like manner, everyone sitting in the same room but looking at their own devices is not going to build family unity. And this is something that in our world, we constantly have to fight against. You know, whenever we go out to eat, it's interesting how often we'll go into a restaurant and you look around the restaurant and people will be there, family members, I suppose, friends. One time we were out to eat somewhere and a group of friends was there. And every single one of them had their phones out and was interacting with something on the phone. And every once in a while, they would show their phone to the other person, and then they would go back to their phone. And I said to my wife, I don't understand why they all came here together. Why are they taking up a table? I mean, they could have done this in their own homes, separately, in their basements, whatever. It doesn't make any sense. If you get together with people, generally it's a good idea to interact with the people that you're together with. But can we be guilty of not paying attention to that? And therefore not redeeming the time that God gives to us? I suggest to parents something that I think about often, and I am definitely not perfect in this area, but something that I think about often, my kids are growing up fast. The time is coming to an end when my kids are going to be in my home. I don't want to look back with regret and think, I was so preoccupied with other things that I never connected with them. We want to learn to redeem the time. Here's a suggestion. Learn to have conversation together. Movies and entertainment may open doors to conversation and give opportunities to discuss worldviews. So if you choose to spend some time watching a movie together, make sure that you also spend some time talking about what you were learning, about what was being presented. What did you think about that aspect of this program? Give some opportunities to discuss the worldviews that were being expressed. Learning to ask questions and have open discussion can be a great bonding and discipleship experience in your family, and it can be very entertaining. It can create a connection in your family that God wants you to have. But we have to learn how to redeem the time. The second principle I want you to consider about this area of discerning entertainment is the need to renew our mind. Romans chapter 12, you can turn over there with me. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of the mind is something that every one of us ought to be pursuing in our Christian life. It is God's will for us to have our mind renewed by the truth of God. It is unlikely that worldly entertainment will be a help to you in transforming your mind to God's way of thinking. In fact, it's important that it is possible, maybe even likely, that the entertainment is attempting to conform your thinking to the way of the world, which is the opposite of God's truth. So if God wants me to renew my mind, I'm going to have to weigh this out in light of the entertainment choices that I am making. And I'm going to try to make choices that allow me to truly see my mind being renewed by the truth of God. At times, this may involve viewing and identifying worldly philosophies and showing the opposite truth of God and how it applies. But it certainly is going to limit some of my choices in entertainment. In other words, to put it plainly, there are things that no Christian ought to be watching that are available online and on your television in the form of movies. There are lines that God wants you to draw. I'll leave that up to you to figure out where those lines are, but understand there are things that no one has any business watching. We could even say it's unfit for human consumption. An awful lot of the entertainment industry might actually fit right into that. Renewing the mind. Third of all is the principle concerning refusing the world. And this is just building on what I just said to you. You and I are commanded by God to flee youthful temptations. We are to flee the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's clearly some areas of entertainment that are out of bounds for God's people. And if you've not discerned what those areas are, you need to think it through. In other words, if your policy is, there are no lines, we just watch everything, you're in a very dangerous place. Watch out, you're going to be seeing some things and exposing your children to some things that ought not to be done. For instance, are you exposing your children and yourself to sexual temptation simply so that you can enjoy a movie? Are you sitting through that saying, well, you know, maybe you're blushing a little bit. Don't watch, kids! But you're watching. How is that affecting you? What if that implants lust into your child's heart that they don't know how to deal with? And then for the rest of their time, especially once they've hit puberty, and they've got enough problems already with their sin nature and their hormones and then you're exposing them to that, that's going to affect them. That's going to set them up for failure in the area of lust. So you need to think that through. Are you making excuses for opening the door to great wickedness in your home because you have become desensitized to that which is in the programming? It's insane how we can be completely opposed biblically and preach against sinful behaviors and perspectives and then willingly invite those things into our home to influence our thinking and that of our family members simply because it's funny or there's an entertainment factor. We ought to consider carefully the choices that we're making and make sure that we are refusing the world, that we are not allowing the world to impact our thinking or our family's thinking. Be careful with these things. Redeeming the time, renewing the mind, refusing the world, and finally, replacing with God's purpose and will. You see, the principle of replacement comes in. A lot of Christians, when they hear preachers talk like this, they say, "Come on, how are we ever going to have any fun?" Well, first of all, you should think about what God's purpose is for your life. Did God give you your life so that you could have fun? Is that His purpose and His plan is for you to have fun and be excited and happy all the time? Now, obviously, God is the one who created pleasure. He's the one who gave us the ability to laugh. He's the one who gave us the ability to be entertained in the first place. So God is not against entertainment, but it's also not the primary purpose of our life. And if we live in such a way that it says, entertainment is my number one priority, there's a problem. I need to be thinking about what is God's purpose and what is God's plan. What does God want from my life? Romans 12:2, which we read a few minutes ago, says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want you to think with me, what is the will of God for that moment? How should you spend your time? When you sit down to watch something on the television or on your iPad or on YouTube or whatever, you should ask yourself the question, is this God's will for my life right now? Submit it to Him. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is going to tell you no all the time. I am suggesting that if you're not in the habit of asking that question, He might say no a lot more than you think He's going to say no. If you submit it to Him, and maybe that's why we don't submit it to Him, because we're afraid He's going to say no. But the truth is, when God says no, it's because He has something better in mind for us. He has something that is good and acceptable and perfect. Are you convinced that God wants you to take that time to partake of entertainment? Or is there something better that you should be devoting yourself to? To ask it another way, are you trading something that is God's best for something that is only acceptable? It'll pass. It's okay. Fine. But does God have something better? Does God have something which is best? And we need to weigh these things out, understanding that with every moment, we can only do one thing. Despite the lie that we can multitask, we actually are terrible multitaskers. Our attention can really only be focused on one thing at a time, and we have to decide, what does God want me to be doing with my attention right now? Now, I've said all this tonight to say to you, that in regards to entertainment, you and I need to give some careful thought. We really need to think it through and decide how we are spending our time, frankly, our money, and ask ourselves if this is the will of God. Is this what God wants me to do? Is this the best use of my time? Is this glorifying to the Lord? Does this recognize the Lordship of Christ in my life? Years ago, I was in a preacher's home. He's a man that I still greatly respect. He raised his children successfully to serve the Lord. They're serving the Lord today, and they are raising his grandchildren to serve the Lord. He's a godly man, a good preacher. We went down in his basement. Some of his kids are about my age, and I was in my early 20s. Went down in the basement where they had a television, and I saw something taped on the television. And I was curious about it, so I walked over and I looked at it. And here's what was on the television. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That father so much wanted his children to serve the Lord that he took that scripture and put it across the top of the television to remind everyone that they have an obligation to set no wicked thing before their eyes. That might be a good thing for all of us to put on our television, on our iPads, on our computers, to remind ourselves that God cares about the things that we look at and the things that we think about. Now tonight, I hope that you'll take these thoughts in the spirit with which they were offered, and I hope that you'll go home and give some hard thinking to these things. If at the end of your cogitations, you come back and say, Pastor, I don't know if I totally agree with you about that thing that you said. I'm not sure that I would draw the line exactly where you said you drew the line. Hey, listen, that's between you and the Lord. What concerns me is Christians who are drawing no lines, who seem to think that everything is fine. Because if you think Satan is not going to use that in your life and in your family's life, you are a fool. You need to pay attention to the fact that there is an agenda, and we each have a responsibility before the Lord to determine where those lines are going to be drawn. God wants us to be honest before Him about the choices that we make concerning our entertainment.